It's Wednesday, October 2nd. It's October. October. I'm here with my good friend CJ. CJ, how are you today?
I'm pretty good, man. It is October. September flew by.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable how fast it went. We're already into week 5 of the NFL season.
I know.
Golf season is almost over. I haven't played in a couple weeks, but we had a big weekend coming up. Probably the most trash talk I've ever seen going into a golf weekend of guys.
Yeah, well, a lot of guys have nothing better to do. Fair.
That's true.
Except you and I, who are clearly very busy. We could barely... CJ, I will tell you this. You're a smart man. You know that. Everybody, I think, knows that. But brilliant today with your strategy of coming in late for the podcast when you know I have to tee off in 45 minutes because I had at least a 20-minute intro I wanted to give you about how I am in first place in the Cornish Cup. I was going to go through all my tournaments, all my rounds, and I don't have time for it.
Yeah, I had two texts from you consecutively yesterday. One... 2 hours apart, so you thought you were being sneaky, but
no, well,
the first one was first place Cornish Cup, and then pod tomorrow. Let me ask you this.
I didn't really.
Let me ask you this. So I just turned my Wi-Fi on because I was going to look up the McGavitt Cup Master Doc so we could go over the playoffs.
Yes.
This is a new computer. This is the one I got that has the neural network processing chip so that we could do the Twi lineups. I could connect to NCC member, but I could also connect to two personal hotspots. My phone, which is named so many viruses. What's the name of your hotspot on your phone, Scott?
I think it's just Scott's iPhone. Should I have a better name for it?
Is this the name of your phone? Come look at it right here.
I can't see it. No, that's not the name of it.
That's not it?
I don't think so.
I wonder whose phone is that?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, CJ.
That's a brilliant name for a hotspot.
That computer scares me.
Whose phone is that?
I don't know. Whose is it?
I don't know. I can connect to it, and it's...
You can connect to someone's hotspot.
If it's open for connection.
Who has an open hotspot?
Can I read this for the podcast, or is this?
Sure.
So it's all caps, Fat Schlong. Someone's hotspot is named Fat Schlong, all caps. Who is it?
I would like to take credit for that. As you know, there's a myth around that could be me, but it's not me.
Oh, God. All right.
Anyway, CJ, thank you for congratulating me on being number one in the Cornish Cup. But I got a bone to pick with Brian Smith. It means nothing. If I come in first, second, third, or tenth, it doesn't mean a thing.
Okay.
You know, at the FedEx Cup, Scottie Scheffler gets to come in at minus 10 because he came in first place in the FedEx Cup. I get nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I get a free beer out of it. CJ, speaking of which, I thought you were going to buy a keg. I listened to the last podcast. You were talking about buying a keg for something.
October
11th?
It's for October 11th.
Oh, is that still happening?
That's 9 days away.
Good point. Plenty of time to order a keg.
I go down to Haymarket and I get a fresh keg of Guinness from the boat from Ireland.
Yeah, but Guinness. So the only problem with Guinness is that's like eating. It's like drinking a steak. You could really only have one or two of them.
Guinness is much lighter. It's really? Way lighter than those like IPAs.
I feel like it sits in my stomach. It's a lot of yeast in Guinness.
Guinness is pretty light. I think.
I mean, I love Guinness. I only usually drink it occasionally, but I also only drink it at a place where I know it. The taps are clean. Like, we don't have it here, do we? Do they? Is it upstairs sometimes?
I think you can get a Guinness upstairs.
I didn't know.
It's been a while. I haven't ordered a beer here. I haven't ordered a beer here in like 2 years.
You know, when I was younger, we used to do these. Have you ever heard of the Irish car bomb?
Yeah.
You ever done one of those?
I have.
Those things, and that obviously Guinness is a part of that. I think it's Guinness.
It's a shot of Jameson and Bailey's that you drop into a pint of Guinness.
But I think it's plus a mixture of Guinness and Bass Ale or something like that.
No, that's a Black and Tan.
Oh, but okay, yeah, you're right. You're right.
So Black and Tan is a lager and a Guinness they're layered.
Right.
And then a car bomb is pint of Guinness, and you drop in a shot of Jameson and Bailey's.
It's Jameson. If I remember correctly, it's been a long time, and I don't plan to do any anytime soon. It tastes like chocolate as it goes down a little bit.
It's like a milkshake. It's great.
Yeah, it's not that great.
Wonderful. It's wonderful. You have to.
To quote Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood, I drink your milkshake.
Well, the issue is that tasting, but it curdles really quick.
Yes.
You have to chug it.
Yeah. You gotta just chug it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that I'm on the frame of mind of these ridiculous, stupid drinks because there's going to be some of that this week, and I'm concerned about this.
There could be, yeah. I think there will be a pretty widespread.
Well, here's what's going to happen, CJ, and I got some bad news for you. The worst thing you can do, so just to preface, we're going down to Old Sandwich, which is, you know, I think everybody listening to this would love to play Old Sandwich. It's a great golf course. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Okay. Great golf course. You know, they pamper you like nowhere else. But what's going to happen, because we're doing a four-round tournament in a Ryder Cup format, four against four, whoever plays well Friday is going to be targeted alcoholically by the other team.
I think if you play poorly, you'll be targeted as well.
Well, no, I don't think in the other. I think you might get under the radar with that a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the guy that plays well who's going to get. They're going to try to take out who they think is their biggest problem. And I'm hoping that's you.
No. I'll say typically on golf trips, I play my best rounds, like the first or second round. Oops. Usually by the end, I'm a disaster.
Yeah,
but
you're like, you're worn down?
Yeah.
Well, let's see how that goes.
Let me see what Crooker said his evaluation was of me.
Oh, no, we're not doing this again, are we?
What did Crooker say? What was his evaluation?
Of you?
Oh, yeah. So Crooker was evaluating our team, a little self-scouting. Driscoll is the best golfer on this trip. Debatable.
Not true.
I think you, Driscoll, Pastor, Shapiro, probably all in the conversation there.
Agreed.
And then I think Rickenbach's probably coming up.
Agreed.
As well.
Rickenbach's been struggling a little recently.
Scotty is the most consistent player on this trip. I think that's very likely true.
That's fair.
It's my course, and I think that gives me an advantage, says Crooker.
He always has to throw in the ownership part of it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a member of so many clubs.
I can play the Augusta whenever I want.
CJ, those guys think you suck.
That's
which I think is a bit of a projection from Crooker.
No. I heard this directly.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they think you're the weak link.
Okay.
So, and that pisses me off. You're my boy.
I'm the highest handicap.
No, you're in short teller even.
Yeah, so I'm likely the weak link.
I actually think you're the secret power that we have.
Anyone coming in who's the high handicap on a squad is going to be, a lot is going to hinge on that person.
Right, I agree.
I'm going to get a stroke. So people get a stroke, typically, you know, one or two strokes. Like with you, with most of the guys, so with the top six or lowest handicaps, no one's getting more than a stroke or two.
Right.
I'm going to be getting like five. So I need to be able to par the fifth handicap hole, the fourth handicap hole. That's a huge swing if I'm able to do that.
And they're not going to birdie it, you would think, or it wouldn't be the fourth handicap hole.
Yeah.
CJ, you're the algorithm kind of guru on the math guy. One thing I noticed, first of all, I shared something with you yesterday, and I do get it, but I kind of don't get it. We played nine holes yesterday. I posted 38, because you can post nine hole scores now.
Yep.
It kicked out my low score of the year, which was the 74 I shot in the club championship. But a 38, I assume that post to a 76, but yet my handicap went from a 5.8 to a 6.3. It went up almost a half a point.
I don't think
posting a 38.
I don't think it directly doubles it. I think nine hole scores, I think might actually artificially inflate a little bit.
Okay.
I think instead of posting
and
it, like,
even though I was too old,
what was the dip? What was the diff on it?
It was 5.9.
Huh. But a 76 here is not a 5.9 diff.
No, I know. That's right. So,
so
maybe they give you the shots you would have on the back nine? Because I think if I'm playing to a 7, then it would have been a 77 instead of 76. It just didn't make sense.
I don't know the algorithm, but it sounds like it posted.
Well, I spot that a 74.
It posted like a 79 or 80 for you.
Right. I spot that a 74.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal because that, you know, no, that's no longer factoring into my lowest 5 of 10.
Yeah.
So I think that's what happened. But one of the things I noticed, and I haven't done a ton of research on this in the gym, but I was looking at it, a lot of the guys playing at OS this weekend are playing at a tremendous differential from their 12-month lows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Including me.
Yeah, I'm at 2.5 off my 12-month low.
I am at 2.6.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are, which is interesting. I guess what happens with guys that play a lot, and I think most of the guys that are going this weekend do play a lot, you probably are going to be at your peak in July, August, when you're playing the most, conditions are better, right, and all of that. And then you start to tail off maybe as you get in September and all. So we're at that point in October where it happens. But if you can then turn it back on somehow, that's going to be the difference, like on a weekend like this.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, we'll see.
Anything else you play from here on in.
We'll see. I can only really speak to my game, but it's been a tough year. It hasn't been the year that I was planning for. Because I had a really strong close to last year. I was anticipating carrying that over to this year.
You had some moments.
I had a few moments.
We'll never forget the 9-hole playoff we had.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you birdied one, and we should have been walking off the course right there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I've had some good stretches, and I think that for me the hardest course I've played this year, I've played a lot of courses. I think the hardest course I've played this year has been Neshottok for me, because it's been playing long. The rough has been really difficult.
The rough has been a problem all year long, no doubt about it.
Every time I'm in the rough, I have a giant tuft of grass behind the ball. I'm getting a little bit better about hitting it out of the rough. It's always a problem, and I just haven't been able to get off the tee all year.
Well, and you and I have had the advantage of playing a lot of off-site golf. I agree that I don't remember a course that was necessarily harder. And I agree with you on the rough, CJ. The rough has been a real problem with this course.
Yeah.
I played the finals of the President's Cup on Sunday, and there was a shot, I forget what hole it was on, that I played with Andrew Lilly, who, by the way, is a great golfer. Really good kid. He's 28 years old. What am I doing, CJ? Playing straight up against scratch golfers who are 28 years old.
Tough draw.
But there was one hole. He had to help me find my ball, and we knew it was like just 5 feet off the fairway. CJ, it was the 9th hole. You should have seen this freaking ball. Where it was 5 feet off, and not anywhere near like heather or anything like that. 5 feet off the fairway. The rough was this high. It was like, it was 3, 4, 5 inches high.
Yeah. No, I think that whoever the chair of the golf committee is next year, we should bring back the first cut of rough.
Well, everybody's been talking about that. I heard that there was some issue with the machinery is expensive. I'm like, please, I agree with you. There's got to be an extra cut.
You know what else is expensive? The annual dues here.
Yeah. well put, CJ. I like that.
Let's get a first cut.
I'm with CJ. You're preaching in the choir.
All right.
Anything we can do. I'll tell you, I played golf with someone, I don't even remember, at Neshottok, who hadn't played there in a while, and we were talking a lot about the collection areas. Was likely the greatest thing we ever did at this golf course.
Okay.
It changed the way you play this course. And if you think about it, I'm talking about holes like 12.
Yep.
Where you now, instead of, that used to be, were you here before the collection areas?
No.
So it used to just be this big sand trap. And for the most part, before they put in the collection areas around the entire course, it was always like sand traps and then maybe, 3 feet of walking space between the green, and that was all very high rough, and that was it. And so you could never really run up. There might have been a couple holes where there was a path that you could run up. But now you have all this risk reward with these collection areas. They have, think about like on 4, where the collection area is off to the right, and a lot of times they put the pin there. Because if you get too close, it's going down. 12 is a perfect example. 6, which should be an easy hole. If you hit that ball short, it's staying down there. It's not going up.
Yeah.
That has been really, truly the thing that has changed this course. And then you add the high rough, and it has been, this has been a hard course this year. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my best score this year was that 74 in the club championship, but I have been more in the 80s than I have in the 70s. What was your best score here this year?
80.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I had...
Just pound scores in the 70s. Yeah, this year.
I had one round where I just lights out on the front nine, shot a 37, but then I'd follow with a 43 on the back. So
yeah, and that's the other thing is, I believe this. Look, we're all in different stages of whatever you want to call it, athleticism, age, whatever. But when you have to constantly keep hitting out of that rough, as the round goes on, it gets really tiring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, get to the point where those swings take more and more out of you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we have.
Yeah, where are we? We're
on the tournament. Right. We have
a finalist.
We have a finalist. We have two. So we have exactly a dirty dozen left. Dirty dozen
right.
players left in the finals.
Unbelievable.
Do you want to unveil?
No. You unveil.
WTF is in the finals. Flight three. WTF. Marty Gomez, John O'Brien, Tom McCormick, and Paul Kramer.
This, again, CJ, every day you wake up, thank your lucky stars you live in the United States of America. These are the kind of things that can happen in a free country. Paul Kramer in the finals of 108 golfers. How is that possible?
And in the semis, you have another Flight 3 contender, Walker 91, Steve Michael, Jeff Wilson, Johnny Bass, and Dave Prudente.
Of which there isn't a good golfer in that group. That's amazing.
And then you have we have a couple good golfers left. Drawshank Redemption is in the semis. That's Dave Winchell, John Coakley, Sherwin, and Mark Shields.
Well, Mark Shields is the only good golfer in that group.
Yeah.
Sherwin is passable. And the other two are
Sherwin's had his,
barely okay.
Sherwin's had his moments. I play. It's so funny because I played.
Sherwin plays a lot.
I played with him. I played against him last year in a McGavin Cup match, and he like single-handedly dismantled us. But he was hitting this really nice draw with every shot. But I played with him again this year, and he says he can't hit a draw anymore. He's in all these fades. So I think he's kind of lost his power move. He's got to get that draw. If he can hit that draw, if he can get that back. They could make some noise, but they're currently down. They played one of their two matches.
What was the score on it?
Two up. So Walker 91 won two up in the first match.
I mean, two's not insurmountable, as we all know.
No.
That'll be interesting.
Grippa and Sipit came back from two down to tie and then lost in overtime.
Yeah, I was about to mention, we had at least two, divisions that have gone into overtime.
Two overtime matches, both involved Grippa and Sipit.
Yeah, yeah. The 1-1. It's hard.
Yeah.
Once you get into that overtime, as you know, as I know, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Getting back to Paul Kramer, who, you know, we all have Kramer. He had one motivation to making the finals, and that's to be in the round table next Friday. That's all he cares about. He just wants to be on the podcast again. He says he's got rebuttals for James Anderson for the podcast. So I don't know anything about that, but we'll see how that goes.
So he.
CJ, speaking of which.
So he's playing the finals not for somebody, but in spite of somebody.
In spite of somebody, yes.
I think spite can be a powerful motivation.
Spite is a very powerful motivation. Yeah. I can tell you that from experience.
That's what I'm bringing to this weekend.
That's right. CJ, do we have a calendar date for my $1,000 match with James Anderson?
Yeah, it's next week.
Next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, God, CJ.
What time? Have we made the tee time yet?
No, but we can, right, at this point.
Yeah,
we
have to do that. I'll make it right now.
Are you playing?
If it's at noon, I'm playing.
Well, then book it at noon. I'm fine with that.
All right.
And we'll get a fourth.
I was going to bring Saldo, the guest. Dan?
Yeah, Dan?
Yeah.
Dan, by the way, he still owes me money. I beat him last time we played, and I never got money from him.
Spite is a powerful motivator.
Tell him bring the money. CJ, are we going to have a drone or something? What are we doing that match? I'm pretty sure there's going to be a heightened amount of interest for that match.
Oh, too many Andersons at the club. Let's see. Okay, James Anderson.
James Anderson, yeah. Yeah, John Anderson is actually a normal human being. Well, I wouldn't even go that far, but he's more normal than James Anderson. I spent some time in the lounge with James.
Are you walking or riding?
I probably ride. I'll probably ride. I mean, CJ, think about it. We're going to be spending so much time riding around the cart looking for James Anderson's ball. and then watching him address it.
So I think I can't remember if I announced this yet, but I will be caddying for James in that match.
So you're not playing, you're caddying.
No, no, I'm playing.
You're playing and caddying.
But I'm going to read his putts for him.
No, you are not reading. No one's reading his putts for him.
I'm reading his putts.
Okay, you can do that. Doesn't mean he's going to hit it when you tell him to.
Hey, that part's not up to me.
Well, it's not up to, it's up to God.
Yeah.
All right, so we got that. I'm expecting, fully expecting, that the Droshank, who is it, Droshank and Locker 91, are going to have their match done for October 11th. Oh, here we go. We're hopefully playing Friday, or if not this weekend. That was from Steve Michael. So they'll be done.
All right, and then...
So October 11th, Friday, 10 a.m. here, roundtable.
Yep.
For whoever makes it, if you remember last year, Griffin and Sippin made it because they're...
They don't have anything else to do. Because
they are what they are. And then they lost. So maybe roundtable is bad karma.
Yeah.
But roundtable, and then there we go. It's going to be exciting. So, you know, we're going to post this today. And if you want to come and see... I obviously, we're not going to follow them around out in the course, but...
Yeah, we are.
It would be nice. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to play. But it would be nice if people were here in the lounge when they come in.
Yeah. I think we'll have plenty of... I mean, it's one of the last golf weekends of the year.
Right.
I think we'll have plenty of people here.
What if... So what do you think we should do? Put them at, like, the end of the Nooners so that everybody's already here when they're done? The guys could play in the Nooners?
Yeah, have them at, like, 1, 1.30.
They'll be 1.10, 1.20 because those are the two last times in the Nooners. I think we do it that way. And then that way, everybody's here and ready to go.
Yeah.
All right.
So Dan is in for Tuesday.
Dan Saldo.
So he'll caddy for you. He'll read her putts for you.
Reminding me, owes me $100. So I forget what it was.
50, he say. Said his fee, his caddy fee is.
Yeah. CJ, what else do we have? What other golf is remaining? The four main four ball. You're not playing.
No.
I'm not playing.
I'm going to be gone for the turkey shoot.
Marston is not playing, which is big because he is in second place behind me for the Corners Cup, and if he played, he could pass me. However, if he plays Nooners on Friday, he could also pass me.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not playing Nooners because I'll be with you playing at Old Sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then that's it.
Well, he's going to be gone for his wedding.
But I don't know if he's gone on Friday or not.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, and then you got the Gold Cup. Have you decided whether you're going to try to play in the Gold Cup?
I don't think I'll play the Gold Cup.
All right. It's a great tournament. And Brian thinks he's going to have to turn people away for the Gold Cup.
Well, there we go.
It's going to only take so many people for the Gold Cup.
It's a cool format. I think I'm ready for winter. I'm going to play these rounds this weekend. I have my November golf trip coming up. Okay. I'm good.
Where are you going in November?
We're going back to Sawgrass.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Same crew.
Great. Great. That didn't work out well for you last time because you posted your 12-month low.
Career low.
Down there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want that, CJ.
I do want that. I want to play a good round.
Well, you always want to play a good round.
There's no way.
How about you just do that at OS? Let's just play your best round at OS.
I think I might.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. We're playing. Yeah. I have some concerns about OS. I do. We're playing it long. We're playing it 6,600 yards.
Yeah. We're playing the composites.
So
that's bad for me.
Got to get off the tee.
Well, I'll get off the tee. My problem is I'm going to have to rely on CJ. Yesterday, on the seventh hole, I went driver, hybrid putter for a par. No reason to explain it, but it was like the most amazing par I've ever
seen. Second hole here?
Seventh.
Oh, seventh hole. Oh, yeah.
So I hit a driver that kind of duffed. It didn't even make it off the out of the rough. I hit a hybrid that didn't even get to 190. Then I hit the same hybrid again, put it to within 12 feet, and made the putt.
Oh, that's a good par.
I mean, that was one of the best parts I've ever had in my life. But my point to that is, that sounds like what I'm going to have to do at Old Sandwich.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of, I'm going to go right after we record, I'm going to go to the range, I'm going to pretty much exclusively hit driver, hybrid, woods, four or five.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of that.
Those have been my struggle clubs this year, so I gotta work it out.
Look, there's two ways to skin that cat. Either you're hitting your long clubs great, or you're going to take your layups and be able to get up and down with your wedge. You know, and good putter.
Yeah, it's one of the short game has been good this year, so I'm gonna have to lock that in.
The strategy on that is, as we all know, and I saw it again yesterday with Driscoll, the clubs that always get you in trouble are the long clubs, right? Yeah. I mean, if you're not hitting your driver, you could be out of a hole before you even started.
Yeah.
And the same thing can happen if you're trying to hit three wood, particularly out of the rough. The rough won't be as bad down at Old Sandwich, but or if you're not hitting your five iron well or whatever, those are the clubs that get you in trouble. Whereas if you just play smart and know you're going to be short, but say, okay, I believe in my wedge or my gap or whatever, and I can get that close enough that my putter will at least, I can maybe get a 12-foot putt or whatever. To me, those are the things that keep you in the matches.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of strategy.
Yeah.
CJ, I think we're pretty much it. We're closing down the Shotta, but I got a question for you. Whatever happened to the men in the Shotta calendar? Where are we with this?
September, I've been busy in September.
We
so
put
I,
this on the shelf, is what you're saying.
I have some images
Am
done.
Am I supposed to be doing prep on this as well?
I don't think you can.
What does that mean?
I don't.
I have to have some input into this.
Yeah, but do you know how to use OpenAI?
I don't even know what that means.
Now let's see.
I don't want to do AI. I just want to decide who's in the calendar.
Well, I've got a few.
Are you making them talk like Kirker?
What are you talking about?
We're gonna have to go through this.
Here's one.
CJ, you know we're not on Facebook here.
I got so I'm gonna. Yeah, this is gonna be a good one. Oh, Angelo's here.
I don't see that. It's locked. Hold on. No, we gotta let Angie in. Ange, you're going to be on the podcast.
Oh, boy. I was never here.
Ange.
My wife is somewhere.
Well, your wife doesn't listen to the podcast either. So, CJ, did you know that Angelo, do you know Angelo Libertini, CJ?
I do.
Angelo, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Did you know that Angelo's wife calls me a boozer loser?
Oh, boy.
I mean, what the hell?
Which part of that is inaccurate?
The loser part, obviously. Did I mention I'm in first place in the Corners Cup? I'm a boozer winner.
She means as a compliment.
A sinner.
I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling that, Ange.
A sinner winner.
Ange, you're here. You're here early.
I know.
You didn't bring lunch.
No, I got a couple of things I got to work out up at the range.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Yes, you do.
So say we all.
Yeah, except me. I mean, I think I'm pretty good. All right, CJ, anything else?
That's it for
Where
me.
Where are we right now in time?
28 minutes, which
well,
is perfect.
See,
we don't need to run
this
over.
This is going to be a quick one because you made it happen that way.
Yeah, well, I think a time boundary on the back end is a good thing for us.
I want one sage observation from you about the New England Patriots.
Keep Drake May on the bench. He's just going to get killed.
I disagree.
I think that putting him out there is a huge mistake.
Why not? I mean, who cares at this point? They're such a bad franchise. There's no future. Just let's see. You know what I mean?
The best thing related to the New England Patriots right now is Julian Edelman's podcast.
Do you ever listen to that? No, I hear it's good, though.
Yeah, so you just had Scott Pioli on, and that...
Are they just bashing on the Patriots?
No, but you get some good like inside baseball stuff from them, like Pioli. You know, Pioli was the personnel guy for so long with the Patriots.
And they were good.
Yeah, his last draft, he actually drafted Gerard Mayo. So before he went to another team. Because he ended up going to...
Went to Kansas City, didn't he?
Kansas City and Atlanta. He's got a great clip in the...
Is he still working or is he retired, Pioli?
He's not
Bill Parcells' son-in-law?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
But he's not working with the NFL team now. He said he's been out for a couple of years. He's got a great clip in that the Dynasty documentary on Apple.
Yes.
Where he talks.
I saw it. It's terrible.
Because he was with the Falcons in 2016, and he talked about how he was in the luxury box watching with all the personnel team, and everyone's celebrating when it's 28-3, and everyone's like, Scott, what's wrong? Like, you should be celebrating. And he looks at you, he's like, not yet.
Yeah.
Not with that man over there.
I know.
He said, Tom Brady is Freddy frickin' Krueger, and he's coming for us, and you just better hope one of us is alive at the end. And they weren't.
They were not. No more. And you're sharp. What do you got for a lock of the week this week?
I really haven't looked. I took a beating with all the underdogs yesterday in baseball, so I'm kind of laying low.
You bet on all the favorites because the Mets won yesterday.
I bet the favorites, and wow. San Diego, I was afraid to touch it, and they were the favorite. They covered.
San Diego.
Did you see?
And they left 1 out of 4.
Like 6-8 weeks ago, the Detroit Tigers had a 1% chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, then they won.
All their starters went down, so they started going with just starting relievers, pitch an inning or two, and just patchwork pitching staff. And they have one of the best records in baseball since then.
Crazy. And by the way, it's just like the opposite of what the Red Sox did that year that they had all the starters pitch relief.
Yeah.
Remember in the playoffs? Which was a brilliant move by Alex Cora. They just didn't have a lot of options.
One of the most legendary pitching performances of all time was Eivaldi.
Yeah.
Pitching that 18-inning game.
Yes.
And a loss.
With Eivaldi. Yeah. But then they came back the next day and won. But then he got like a diva like David Price to buy in. And Price ended up having
a couple
of great relief.
He could have been the MVP of the World Series.
And then he actually should have been.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Chris Sale was chomping at the bit. And they let him close out the World Series, which was kind of a joke. But, I mean, why can't we get good pitchers like Chris Sale?
I know.
He's going to win the Cy Young this year. Do you think if he had gone 18-3 with the Red Sox, we'd be in the playoffs right now?
It's probably not even.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. We got a lot of, thank God for the Celtics, CJ, because we have a lot of incompetence going around with our sports teams.
Yeah, no one else is good. The Bruins are going to stink this year.
Well, the Bruins have a problem. The Bruins have a PR problem. I don't know what they're doing with Swayman, but they're a little misguided all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And they just haven't been that good. I think they hung their hat on, and I love Brad Marchand, and I like Pastrnak, but they're not going to get you to that next level.
Yeah.
They're just not good enough, and and McAvoy. So, anyway. All right, CJ, I'm good. You good?
I'm good.
Next Friday, October 11th, we will do it. We'll post, we'll play, and then we'll wrap up.
We'll do it live.
I think not next Friday, but the Friday after will be the season finale.
Yeah.
All right. All right, CJ, and say goodbye to the people.
Bye, guys. Wow. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's a podcast personality right there. We got to make sure to get Ange on the calendar again.
Yeah.
Sign us up, CJ.
Never here.
All right.
No, you're right about that, Ange.
It's going to be a different sign off.
All right.
This is a wartime podcast for this
good
weekend
point.
Coming
Thank
up.
You for sobering us up.
So I want to just say from the deepest levels of my heart to Will Shapiro, to Eric Rickenbach, to Matt Pastor, to Brandon Shortell, go fuck yourselves.
Nice.